your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, a deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to an extra large episode of What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. We are together until 8:30 as we lead up to the Milwaukee Brewers game in Las Vegas this evening on the West Coast. You are going to hear from Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Buddy Guy. The blues legend sharing stories from an incredible career and tells us about his upcoming Buddy Guy 90 concert at Milwaukee's Riverside Theater on July 26th. Yes, he has been playing music for that long. And Buddy Guy's classic hit, Damn Right I Got the Blues, that will be the song you need to hear. And there's a TV show pilot happening here in Wisconsin. Brood Awakening is the name of the show. I've been following their progress since last year. You will meet the Brood Awakening creator, Evan Gersh. He's going to join us in the studio with some cast members. Dan Kim, Autumn Madsen, and Colton Klingenmeyer. We're going to get an update on the project and where filming is going to start this month. And what is next for Brood Awakening? Plus, I will tell you where to find free live music this week, share an update on Art 64, the winners in Wauwatosa over the weekend, and check in on the progress of Milwaukee's 10-story tall Bob Uecker mural. But we kick things off now with Skylight Music Theater Artistic Director Michael Unger here in the WTMJ studio with me to announce special concerts coming to Milwaukee. Plus, we're going to recap the biggest moments from last night's Tony Awards, since you were the host with the most at Skylight Music Theater's Tony Awards watch party. So welcome back.
Always great to be here. Thank you.
Michael, what is the big music news that you bring us?
So this is such new news that it's not even available on our box office website yet, but it will be.
Having you be the first to know, because was a very special announcement. Yet another reason people should have come to the Tony Awards watch party.
Well, you're the second to know, because we announced it last night at the Tony Awards viewing party at Skylight.
Is great.
But this is really the first time we're publicly announcing it. So as you know, we're very good friends with Gary Sinise, and the Gary Sinise Foundation does so much for our vets and first responders. And we do Vets Nights for every production that we have. And Gary did a benefit concert for Skylight about a year ago at the Henry Meyer Festival Park.
Called Skylight Rocks.
Yeah,
it was a blast.
We had 1,000 people there. It was such a blast.
I've not been to a concert where a conga line starts and continues for an entire song through the entire pavilion.
It's such a great party band.
Yes.
They are the best cover band, the best party band, and just the nicest people. Of course, Gary is a nicest person as well. So, unfortunately, Gary lost his son, Max Sinise, to a very rare spinal cancer 2.5 years ago called chordoma. And his son left behind an incredible body of work. He was a composer that studied at USC in the film school in Los Angeles. And before he passed, he was in a wheelchair for many years and had only the use of, I think, his left arm a bit and a few fingers on his right hand. But before he passed, he said to his father, I want to produce an album of my music, which he did. I don't even think he survived to hear the final mix. But they released Resurrection and Revival Part 1, which Mac produced himself. And after he passed, Gary found on Mac's computer, cell phone, Dropbox, folders here and there, just randomly searching and trying to find what might be there that he didn't know about, 2 more albums worth of incredible music. Now, this young man, who unfortunately passed way before his time, had so much more music to write, which we will never hear. But he would write epic patriotic anthems like the likes of John Williams, or a beautiful film scoring like James Horner, who scored Apollo 13 that his dad was in, as well as some jazz tunes and some pop tunes and some esoteric scoring for animated films. I mean, he was a brilliant young man.
What a range.
Yeah, and I knew Mac when he was like, probably 3 years old. That's when I started assisting Gary, and I haven't seen Mac sort of since then. But we are honoring Mac and his music with a concert at Skylight on August 28th and 29th, where Gary will be in town. He will narrate the evening, talking about his son's music and his son's journey, and we'll have a 25-piece orchestra on the Cabot stage, accompanied by videos of Mac and of some of sort of Gary's work with Mac. Mac also sat in for the Lieutenant Dan Band as a drummer sometimes. Anyway, a magnificently talented young man, gone way before his time. Gary's writing a book called Graceful Warrior about his journey with his son's illness. And the concert is also called Graceful Warrior. And this is the world premiere of this event. Gary and I are working on it right now, working on the script together. But it's a lot of Gary and a lot of Mac, and the music is just incredible. Do not miss it. It is also a benefit for Skylight. So please come to support Skylight, hear Mac's music, and see Gary up close and personal. First time ever to be able to do that with this work.
And I remember last year at Skylight Rocks that we got a sample. The Lieutenant Dan Band performed one of Mac Sinise's songs, and it was really very moving. And if I may, you were wonderful last night and played an announcement, an invitation from Gary Sinise. We have that video if you want to see it. You can text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Text the word watch to 855-616-1620 and you can see what you're going to hear on the radio right now.
Hi everyone, Gary Sinise here with some exciting news. My book, Graceful Warrior, comes out on November 10th, later this year. And in the book, I talk about my son, Mac, and how he was a composer, a songwriter, and how much music he actually wrote and tucked away on his laptop for me to find. He suffered and struggled with a very rare cancer, and we lost him on January 5th, 2024. And the book kind of centers around Mac's life and how our family met the challenges that one faces when fighting cancer, and then the grief that follows when a loved one is lost. The music is beautiful, and recently we just released the third album in Mac's Resurrection and Revival series, part three of Resurrection and Revival. So we're going to be playing at Skylight Music Theater on August 28th and 29th. We're going to have two concerts with an orchestra playing Mac's music from Resurrection and Revival, Resurrection and Revival Part 2, and from Part 3. And it all benefits the Skylight Music Theater. For more information, you can go to skylightmusictheater.org or you can call the box office. We hope you come out to support the theater, hear some great music, and perhaps pick up a copy of Graceful Warrior down the road. Thank you very much.
Gary Sinise, just what a decent human being, using everything that he can to help people even more. We know how much he helps veterans. Now to help fellow families and anyone who has been grieving or dealing with the cancer diagnosis. My goodness, what a man. And then to know that his DNA lives on in his son. This is just a sample of one of the songs that Mac Sinise created called Cloud Surfing. But to your point, Michael, what a range of music this isn't the only style of music that Mac Sinise created in these three albums.
The range is remarkable. You know, Gary sent me the songs as they sort of released them, and one just beat the other, and they're just, each one has such personality, and the arrangements are glorious by a friend of his and colleague, Oliver Schnee, who did the arrangements. And in some cases, the pieces were not finished, and they found some fragments of melodies, and Gary had Oliver and some other artists piece together Mac's melodies to make into full songs.
Wow.
So it's all started with Mac, and if Mac could finish it, it's finished that way. If he couldn't finish it, Gary found other ways to finish it beautifully.
Fulfill that legacy. What are the dates that Gary Sinise honors his son, Mac Sinise, with these two performances?
August 28th and 29th, and we hope to make it an event that can tour other theaters, but it will have started at Skylight on the Cabot stage.
How wonderful. I'm so glad that you have such a special relationship. And, you know, creators create. You just can't stop people.
Yeah, well, I started assisting Gary. So I was the first, like, intern, mascot, whatever, at Steppenwolf Theater in 1976. And I was there the day that they painted that basement church theater black. Like, I was there the day we all painted it black. And I hung out and, like a fly on the wall, watched every single Steppenwolf member I could get my eyes on to watch that magnificent process. Laurie Metcalf won a Tony last night, watched her in rehearsals, John Malkovich, Terry Kinney, Jeff Perry, Gary Sinise, H.E. Bacchus, Alan Wilde, like all these incredible artists who were just a bunch of college chums getting together to do shows in the basement of a church and see what would happen. And the popularity, the skill, and the magical ensemble work that they did, which was not being done very much, I guess, it started in my hometown of Highland Park, Illinois, just an hour south of here, And the popularity of that from our hometown catapulted them to Chicago. And then obviously the success in Chicago catapulted them to New York and, you know, Tony's and world fame. Well, all deserve it. And just incredible artists who really just started trying to do some art when they didn't know what else to do.
A heck of a group of people you've been running with, Michael Unger.
Well, I was in the right place at the right time, I have to say. It was luck. Certainly has a lot to do with it.
Last night was the right place to be for your Tony Awards watch party at Skylight Music Theater, including getting to watch Laurie Metcalf win. So when we come back, Tony Awards hot takes and watch party highlights with Skylight Music Theater Artistic Director Michael Unger. Next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Getting Ready Rag!
From the now Tony Award-winning musical. Man, did they clean up some awards last night. I am joined in the WTMJ studio with Skylight Music Theater Artistic Director Michael Unger, who you have many Broadway connections, and you know how to throw a party. I love that you hosted, I don't know if it was the biggest and best one in Milwaukee, but the Tony Awards watch party inside the Cabot Theater was a great space to enjoy the Tony Awards with a lot of other live theater fans. I didn't realize how much I was missing hanging out at home, you know, watching with some popcorn.
Yeah.
Instead of really being around people who would cheer and have fun watching.
Well, I'll bet it was the best Tony's party around. And I certainly did not throw this party by myself. Our team at Skylight is unbelievable. Everyone pitched in and threw a really great evening. We had so many great local artists performing. So we had performers in the bar before the show.
A dozen singers, yes.
And then we had them performing on the commercial breaks. It was so fun. And, you know, who better to watch the Tonys with than Milwaukee's Home for Music Theater, Skylight.
Indeed. And people did take it to heart to walk the red carpet. There was a lot of sparkle. There was a lot of glam.
Well, Sandy and Ryan Jay were hosting and welcoming at the beginning. It was a fantastic night
with them. We had fun. We had a podcast. And it was just so much fun to actually talk with other theater fans. And I'm thinking
we gave away tickets and stuff.
Yeah. And Daryl and Laura were two of the attendees who I happen to know. And I see them at theater events around, and the last time I saw them, funny enough, was at Skylight Music Theater in the bar upstairs, and they were just getting ready to go to New York to see The Lost Boys purposefully and the Rocky Horror Show revival, and they saw like three other shows, but that's how enthusiastic they are to see live theater. They support it here and want to see live theater here, but they also go to Broadway, so it was fun that they came and could actually say that The Lost Boys was as fantastic as everybody was saying that it was.
We had such a great time, and we're going to do it again next year and year after that. So we really want to make this a fixture at Skylight. It was also a fundraiser for us, and it was a blast.
Were there any surprises? I felt like you were hoping Ragtime would win.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in love with Ragtime ever since I saw the original production with Audra and Brian Stokes Mitchell, and that show has, from that moment, been an absolute favorite. Not to say nothing of the fact that Aarons and Flaherty couldn't be nicer people. The people that wrote it are just the kindest humans with such range and skill, and they're humble. So they're just good, good people.
You want those kinds of people.
You do.
Like,
and
we were just talking about how decent Gary Sinise is. Yeah. Like, you want good people to be successful.
Right,
and
I'm sure a lot
fulfilled.
Of other Broadway writers are, I mean, yeah, no, of course,
are
a
nice
lot of good,
too.
Decent people. But just Lynn and Stephen are incredibly, incredibly kind and generous and so talented. I did interact with them when we the first show we did in Newtown after the Sandy Hook tragedy was Seussical, and they came to opening night, Lynn and Stephen, and it was just very special. But Ragtime is an incredible, incredible show written by beautiful writers. Terrence McNally, unfortunately, no longer with us, who wrote the book, but they well deserved to win. And I saw the show, and I loved how Joshua Henry, who won the Tony for Best Performance, credited and mentioned Brian Stokes Mitchell and Audra McDonald as having laid the foundation for the work that he was doing in that show and everyone. It's a stunning production, very different from the original, a very different kind of design, but really a show you must go to New York and see.
It is interesting with the revivals that for every decade or every decades later, a new mark gets put on, whether it's modern or just a different take. The Cats, the Jellicle Ball, a good example
example.
Just completely adapted with ballroom choreography. And I'll tell you what else was fun to watch last night as a group. You know, even if you didn't have skin in the game because you haven't seen some of the plays on Broadway, man, all the performances and Pink just really
Pink
brought it and
incredible.
Had fun and
yes.
showcased her singing and her dancing with the Chicago number.
Yeah,
she's the real deal.
She'll be in a Broadway show at some point soon, I'm sure, if it's the right match. Obviously, she could, I think, take her pick of whatever she might want to do. But she was absolutely fantastic last night. She sounded great. She looked great. She was funny.
Yeah.
And humble.
Even just the opening number, because as soon as Neil Patrick Harris walks out, you're like, oh, boy, he is a really good host. You kind of wish he would, but it was also very playful.
Yeah.
And for, I think, a lot of award shows where the criticism is everybody patting themselves on the back and taking themselves very, very seriously, this was a lot of celebration, but also a lot of encouragement. You know, it is very typical in a Tony Awards speech, acceptance speech, to encourage, hey, if you're watching now, I started this show, Titanic. What's her name?
Marla Mindell.
Marla Mindell. I always want to call her Melinda. Marla Mindell, you know, started in a very small theater.
In the basement of a Gristiti's grocery store.
Oh, my God.
In Chelsea. I saw it.
So imagining being Celine Dion actually on the Titanic. A wackadoodle imaginative idea.
Also, the first woman to be triple nominated for a single show.
Wow.
In history.
Oh,
which is really cool.
See?
And she is
you
a sweetheart
know talented
and
people.
Funny.
Well, yeah. When I called you on Tony Award nominations day, who were you with?
Marla Mindell. I had gone to see Marla in her show and hung out with her afterwards a little bit, yeah.
But not knowing she would be nominated. So these are great circles that you're running in.
And she was almost teary-eyed. Every time I think of it, I have to cry because I can't believe this has happened from this idea we had hang out in a bar in Los Angeles to this basement of a grocery store to Broadway to Tony nominations. So
inspiring and believe in yourself. He is Michael Unger, Artistic Director of Skylight Music Theater and very well connected in the Broadway theater world, which elevates us here in Milwaukee.
I've been doing this a long time. I'm a lot older than I sound.
It's experience. Well, when we come back, we will play a slice of one of the acceptance speeches from one of your colleagues and then remind everybody about why Gary Sinise is coming back to Skylight Music Theater this summer. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. You are hearing music by Gary Sinise's son, Mac Sinise. And you will be able to hear a lot more of this special music this summer. Just a couple more seconds with Artistic Director of Skylight Music Theater, Michael Unger, with your very special invitation. What is this fresh Gary Sinise announcement?
So Gary Sinise and I are putting together a concert of his son's music. His son died of a rare spinal cancer 2.5 years ago, unfortunately, but left behind a beautiful body of music from epic patriotic soaring compositions to quirky jazz stuff to pop stuff and everything in between. And we'll be doing a concert of Mac's music with a 25-piece orchestra at Skylight Music Theater on August 28th and 29th. This is such fresh news. Tickets aren't even on sale yet, but please check the box office, I think, after June 15th, and they'll be on sale then. But do not miss this once-in-a-lifetime event. Gary will be there narrating and with accompanying videos. It'll be a very special evening that has never been done anywhere else.
And what a proud father. That warms my heart. And what a gift that his son left him to discover all this wonderful music. And it's a great reason to join Skylight Music Theater's mailing list. So that way you
Absolutely.
Don't miss out.
Yes.
So skylightmusictheater.org. Michael, thank you for joining me. Thanks for throwing a great Tony Awards watch party at the theater last night and for being a partner here at WTMJ. Enjoy the rest of your evening and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks for being such a good friend to Skylight, Sandy.
My pleasure. And stay with us. We are going to meet the Brood Awakening cast. Yes, a TV pilot being filmed here in Sheboygan and a chat with music legend Buddy Guy. But first, we check in with the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is the latest from Jessica Gatso.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
My next guest is more than a blues legend. It is my honor to talk with one of the most influential guitarists in music history, a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award recipient, Kennedy Center honoree, and National Medal of Arts winner. Buddy Guy helped shape the sound of modern blues and inspired artists from Jimi Hendrix, the Rolling Stones, Eric Clapton, Stevie Ray Vaughan, John Mayer. Those are just a few. Now, as Buddy Guy approaches 90 years old, he is still keeping the blues alive and bringing his incredible talent to audiences around the world, including right here to Milwaukee, July 26th at the Riverside Theater. And damn right, I got Buddy Guy as my guest right now. How are you, Buddy?
Well, as an old man, I'm hanging on, you know. It's catching up with me, but I'm still having fun, you know, trying to make smiles on people's face by hopefully playing a good enough music for somebody to enjoy, you know, and that's what it's all about.
Oh, Buddy, you are so humble. You are one of the most influential musicians, much less in the genre of blues, but you have inspired so many guitarists from back when you started, even now through today. So thank you for showing everybody that creativity doesn't just go away. At age 90, you keep on going.
Well, I don't forget. I have to get it from other people, too, now. I didn't learn nothing from the book, you know. I tried to learn how to play music before I left Louisiana almost 70 years ago, next year. And I went to the music teacher, and I said, I want to learn how to play, to read music, and play the guitar more. And I had a 7-8 record by Muddy Waters. I had it behind my back, and the teacher said, yeah, I can teach you. Say, I got book one. And when he came out with the book one, I came out with the 7-8 of Muddy Waters' Rolling Stone. I said, I think I got book one. And he looked at me and put it on the turntable. He said, well, I can't teach you that. I said, well, I can't take your class. And you ain't going to believe it. I was here in Chicago, and my brother was still living. He called me and said, Mr. Johnson, the music teacher, is pretty ill. And he told me if I could contact Buddy, tell him I would like to talk to him. And I flew back down and went to the hospital. His eyes was closed, and I said, Mr. Johnson, he said, I think that's Buddy. And I said, I heard you wanted to say something to me. He said, yeah, I just want to let you know I'm glad you didn't take my class.
That's impressive that he recognizes that you have something special. Tell me the first time you ever picked up a guitar and it felt magic to you.
Well, to be honest with you, it didn't feel magic. The first time I had a guitar, born in Letchworth, Louisiana, that's out there on the plantation. And the guy, my parents and all the people go get this guitar player every Christmas, and they go from house to house and drank the gallon of wine at everybody's house, and they would go to sleep, and I would pick that old acoustic guitar up and see could I play with him. He was playing Lonnie Johnson stuff and all the older stuff. I had never heard of an electric guitar back then. So I would pick it up and try to figure out what he had did, and one day my daddy was sawing logs. There wasn't no power saws, and then it was called, Howard Kang made a record called Crosswood Saw. You had to pull, I had to pull. And he gave that guy $2 for a guitar that had two strings on it. And that was my start right there.
Wow. Well, you've come a long way from a $2 guitar with two strings. Now on Buddy Guy 90, July 26th, we are ready to welcome you back to the Riverside Theater. You were here a couple years ago at the Riverside Theater. And I love that any Buddy Guy show is memorable. Because, Buddy, I worked in Chicago radio in the 1990s at WXRT. So you know I spent a lot of time at Legends, and I saw you. You know, everybody does residencies now in Las Vegas. And I think you were the first artist to do a residency and at your very own blues club at Legends. And one of my favorite memories is right in the middle of January, you get your guitar and you take it outside and play for people in the street all around the block and then come back into the club.
Well, you know, you have to try to you know, people. It's funny, you know, I don't know if I learned that from a great guitar player in Louisiana named Guitar Slim. He made a big record called Things I Used to Do. And I saw him with a 100-foot cord, and now they got the wireless, you know, remote. You don't have that long wire. And I learned that from him. I said, sometimes you might want to do something stupid, or maybe it's not stupid. Just let people know that you into them. And sometimes I walk out there and let people hit my guitar and they don't believe it, especially young people. And when they do that, they just jump up and start screaming. That was me. I heard myself play his guitar. So anything to make people happy, because you know the whole world, I hate to turn my TV on, because it looks like everybody in the world, somebody's angry, half of them don't even know what they're angry about. But music brings smiles on people's face that wasn't smiling until you played the right note or said the right word. That's what makes me sleep better at night.
Aw, that is truly good vibrations that you are continuing to share. And a belated congratulations on your 9th Grammy victory and a new statuette.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I love the title. It sounds like you aren't finished yet. You're still swinging. What's the title of your album? Ain't Done with the Blues. So,
well, you know, to treat the blues now on your radio is like a stepchild. You know, you big. At my age, there wasn't no big FM stations. It was all AM stations. And the disc jockey could play what he want back then. He didn't have a program director that'd give him one big superstar record, and you play that 6 times a day, and you never hear the late Muddy Waters, B.B. King. I could go on and on, Howlin' Wolf, one of these great blues players who did it all very well when their records was being heard on a big AM station at least once or twice a week. So, you know, that kind of hurts because the young people don't know who the blues player is until now. You can, when we play the outdoor theaters, you can bring a 9-10-year-old kid in there. And I have it all the time come up to me and say, I don't know who you was, but I read why Eric Clapton say you were pretty good. And then they look at me and say, he was right. You are pretty good.
You're still impressing people. Spending some special time with music legend Buddy Guy as he prepares to return to the Riverside to share those guitar sounds with us July 26th. Keep it here on What's on Tap. I have more music performance questions and a movie question for Buddy Guy next.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
I'm Sandy Max. It is my pleasure to continue this conversation with the immensely talented, influential, and humble music legend, Buddy Guy, from Louisiana to Chicago, playing with the blues pioneers and continuing to blow the minds of modern guitarists. Well, Buddy, what can we expect at your show on July 26th at the Riverside? Are you going to be showcasing some of those influences? Are you going to be showcasing some of your music?
Well, I'm from Louisiana. Do you know what a gumbo is?
Yeah. Tasty.
You know, they put everything in it. That was the thing the white man was throwing away back in the days. And the black people made a gumbo. Now it's the most expensive soup you can get. So I play my music calling a gumbo. You know, you're going to get some of everything a Buddy Guy that I can afford to give you. But I never will forget it. Whenever I come, I'm going to never say, I'm not going to give you a taste of Muddy Water or lick of B.B. King and some of those people who created the music that led me to talking to you today. If it wasn't for them, I don't know if I'd be talking to you because I learned everything from them.
We love you here in Milwaukee. You're just down the road. When I say Milwaukee, do you have any good memories here?
Oh, yeah. I've played quite a few places. I never forget once I was playing there, it started storming, and everybody was going away, and there was a couple out there with an umbrella. And I was on the stage, and they didn't move, and it started lightning. I said, well, if you so standing this kind of weather, I'm going to plug my guitar and play in this stormy weather. I went on and played 2-3 songs for them.
I wonder if that was Summerfest.
That's it. That's what it was.
That's one hearty couple who love the blues. Is that magic to you? If you can just connect with somebody, is that where the magic of a live performance comes?
Well, you know, I play by watching you. You know, when we start playing outdoors before the sun go down, and even when you play at night, if they light up that front 4 or 5 rows, I like to look in your face. If you got a frown on your face, something tell me, Buddy Guy, you ain't played the right note yet. Just move along, play another note, play another song, sing another lyric. And sooner or later, I see that frown leave your face and a smile come on your face. I say, I figured it out. I know what I need to do. I need to bend this string a little deeper.
What a beautiful job you have. Let's talk about you and your guitar playing.
You know, I don't ever listen to Buddy Guy. I can't learn nothing on Buddy Guy. That's something I always know. I like to go out and I go to my club every night and I listen to other guitar players. And that's where I get ideas from. So if I'm sitting here in the room and fooling my guitar, I might accidentally run on something. But if I hear somebody else play something, I go and say, let me see, can I find that? And looking for that, I found something else sound good as that or might be better. So that's the way I go. I've been doing that ever since I fell in love with playing the guitar. I like to listen to other people, not Buddy Guy.
You are a lifelong learner. That is super. And as much as you are connected with the audience and given smiles, what's a song that you play live where you feel like you truly shine, where we get to experience you?
Muddy Waters record, yeah, I'm a hoochie coochie man. I get more smiles out of that than I do anything else. And sometimes I got another one about I love a woman and she's big and fat. And they start laughing. I say, what the hell wrong with that? And then I get a standing ovation, you know.
You're getting one right now. Buddy, before I let you go, we've been talking music. I do want to ask you a movie question. Oh, my gosh. As much as I enjoyed the movie Sinners and the themes it explored and all sorts of things about it, I loved seeing you in the film. That truly was the high point for me. It was such a surprise. It was such a delight. I loved that you were part of Sinners. How did that experience come to you? How did that come about?
Well, they brought it to me. I didn't know that. I ain't gonna lie to you and tell you I was ready for that. They came to me and asked me, would I do that movie? And I said to myself, I would do anything to hopefully keep the blues alive. And there's not many old blues players left. If you have listened to me, that was Willie Nelson, Bobby Rush, and Buddy Guy. And Buddy Guy will be 90 years old in 2 months. Bobby Rush is 2 years older than me. That'd make him 92. And I think Willie Nelson is 94 or something like that. So we talk about this last 4 old blues players trying to keep the blues alive. And I hope I'm asking the question, because, you know, if you look at people, the whole world, if you look at some people, it seems like everybody's mad, don't know what they're mad about. Angry, I should say. But if you play the right note in music, that anger would leave for them. At least when you don't hurt them with that good note and that smile on their face, I say, if you was angry, I made you forget it for that moment.
Buddy Guy, keep spreading the good news of smiles and keeping the blues alive with your influences and now with the influence that you are bringing to people. Because as much as it's called the blues, you see it yourself that it really gives joy.
Well, thank you so much. And we need people like you to help me keep it alive.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much, buddy. We look forward to seeing you July 26th back here in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. Take good care.
And make sure you come backstage and I give you a shot of my cognac.
Oh, it's a deal. That's a week after my birthday. I will be there.
All right.
Buddy Guy, what a joy and a gift to the music world. If you use the keyword buddy on the WTMJ Siding Unlimited Talk and Text line, you text in the word buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, to 855-616-1620. Text buddy to 855-616-1620. Get the link to that chat to listen to it again and share with your favorite blues fan. And what a joy to know that he's going to be back in Milwaukee July 26th. And proof that Buddy Guy is a blues magician. The song you need to hear. Get ready to turn it up next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
What a thrill to talk to blues legend Buddy Guy here on What's on Tap and to get you in the mood for his July 26th concert at the Riverside Theater for his Buddy Guy 90 tour. Yes, 90 and still making great music. This is from his Grammy award-winning 1991 album, the title track, Damn Right I Got the Blues, the song you need to hear on What's on Tap by Buddy Guy.
1, 2, 3, I've got it.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. This hour is going to be full of fun. Maybe you already know there's a TV show being filmed in Sheboygan. Well, it's set in Sheboygan. We're going to get all of the details. It is my pleasure to welcome back to What's on Tap the creator of a show called Brood Awakening. Not rude. Think brood like beer. B-R-E-W-E-D. And this is Evan Gersh, your third time on the show. How are you?
Third time's a charm. I'm doing well.
Oh, wait. Punch that on button.
But there we go. We're live. Okay. We'll do it live.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
It has been fun to watch the progress of a TV pilot from idea and hopefulness to now you're going to start filming in 2 weeks.
Isn't it scary?
Congratulations. So Evan, as ever, you never come alone. So you've brought cast members with you. So let's do a round robin of all of our guests. We get to spend the next hour together talking about this show in particular, the process to get it to come to life and get to know each of you and your performing backgrounds and talents and skills, because it is an exciting time. This is what we've been talking about, you know, with the Milwaukee Film Office and having productions here in Wisconsin. To see it actually happening is something to celebrate. So round robin, introduce yourself, Evan, and then we'll just go right around.
I am Evan Gersh. I'm the creator and producer of Brood Awakening.
I'm Autumn Madsen. I'm going to be playing Sydney Donahue.
My name is Colton, and I play Luke Donahue.
My name is Dan Kim, and I play Andy Park.
Welcome, everyone. And Autumn, I'm going to say, put that microphone closer to you, because you're so light-spoken. Ooh. You're colorful.
Not in the show.
Oh, very good. So there you go. Let's go back to the round robin. So Autumn, tell us about your—well, wait a minute. We got to know what the story is before we start digging into the character. So, Evan, for people who are hearing this the first time going, oh, this sounds interesting. What is the synopsis? What's the elevator pitch to get somebody excited about watching Brood Awakening?
A professional surfer from Malibu, California, after losing his wife in a tragic accident, packs up his family and they move to Sheboygan, Wisconsin, the Malibu of the Midwest, to help his lifelong friend run a struggling craft brewery. So he takes his family with him, his very sincere, loving, but kind of, you know, off a little bit, mother Louise, his 16-year-old daughter Sydney, played by Autumn, and his younger son Luke, who is a piano prodigy. In real life, too. Yeah.
That has to be fun to cast.
It was really fun. It was great how it all came together, actually. I mean, I've known Autumn since she was born. I've known Dan now since saw him last year in Legally Blonde at the Racine Theater Guild.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep. And Colton playing piano, it was through a friend connection. And actually, Autumn's mother, Lisa, knew Colton's father, Kurt. And we got in touch. And we met about a year ago at the country club in Racine. And it's been fun times ever since.
This is your brainchild, Evan?
It is. Yep, from the get-go.
When did this idea of West Coast comes to the Fresh Coast come to you and make you think that it's a deeper story than that? Like, it's a fun premise, but then you have to write at least 13 episodes, right? You have to give everybody a story arc and a reason to be around.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the pilot episode right now, and it's... you know, I came up with it a couple years ago. I just wanted to do what I thought would be a fun idea for a sitcom. And I've always known that the sitcoms that seem to do really well are the fish out of waters, right? So you have...
I thought you were going to say, are the ones set in Wisconsin. Oh, like Happy Days.
Those two. I was getting there, too. No, it's just those, like, you look at some of, like, the more recent ones in history, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right? You take Will Smith out of West Philadelphia, you put him in Bel-Air. You go way back to the Beverly Hillbillies, you take the Clampets out of the hills of Tennessee, and you put them in Beverly Hills, right? So these are fish out of water in every sense of the word, and they're trying to find, you know, their footing now in Sheboygan. And just that juxtaposition, it lends itself really well to comedy.
Sure.
I feel like, yeah.
So have you done all the writing? As creator, that's a really big word. How many different hats are you wearing as creator of Brood Awakening?
A lot. A lot. It's it takes a lot to put on a TV show. It really does. Yeah, I wrote the script. It's gone through 16 different revisions.
How different is it from the very first script? How much has it evolved? Yeah.
A lot.
Is it recognizable?
Right? Yeah. Maybe parts of it. I mean, Autumn and I, we were talking about this the other day. Kalisconsin was the working title for the show.
What was the name?
Kalisconsin.
Oh, like California and Wisconsin, yep. Blending it together. Like, yep. I was thinking calisthenics.
Yeah.
I was like,
no, yeah,
did
right?
Not age well.
I was not I was just told say, about this. I wasn't well, informed about this.
Now you know. So, yeah. I'm glad you joined
Dan,
us tonight.
That would have changed your mind a little bit. Like, oh, yeah. Good luck with the Wisconsin thing.
We didn't want to tell him until 2 weeks out. He would have quit, you know? So.
Yeah, Cal Wisconsin. Guys, I don't know how I feel about this. That much is dip.
Let's brainstorm some more. So Cal Wisconsin is now Brood Awakening.
It's now Brood Awakening. And the way that came about was a friend of mine, John Colorado. Hi, John. I know he's probably watching.
Which is a great name, too.
Yes, it is. It's a very Hollywood name.
It's got another state in it.
Yes. He is working. He's been working in Hollywood for years. He did Last Man Standing. He's currently working on Shifting Gears on ABC. He's been a great friend and a great mentor for me from the get-go. And he said, hey, buddy, you may want to find a different title. You know, it's Cal Wisconsin doesn't quite work, you know. So kind of went back to the drawing board, and then I was talking to somebody one day and I said, yeah, this family, you know, they're kind of in for a rude awakening. And then it just hit me. It was like rude, brood.
Yep.
And then brood awakening. That's how it came.
There's some of the best ideas. Just it's that spark.
You got to talk it out.
Oh, and truly, yeah. Just keep articulating it and moving it around in the brain and let it come out. Through action comes clarity.
It does. But, and to your question too. Yeah. I have been wearing so many hats, financing, you know, getting all the investors in on this and raising the money for it. We had a really great fundraiser a couple weeks ago. You know, when I was first on last year, we were like, hey, we're looking for 20,000 and everything. Boom, we doubled it.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
That also has to feel good that there's an appetite for this show. Anything can be a great idea, but to start getting that excitement and the actual, I want to help you make it. I want to mm-hmm. help you make it possible. Get the sets, get the all the things that that money affords
yep.
to start the filming. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what it takes to get this produced and the excitement that you will be filming soon. So stay with us with the creator and cast of Brood Awakening, a sitcom set and produced right here in Wisconsin. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, where I am joined before they're officially famous, by the creator and cast of Brood Awakening, which is a TV pilot that has been brewing for quite some time now, at least since last year. What did you say, 2 or 3 years ago when you first had the idea, Evan?
I say a couple of years ago. Yeah. I kind of came up with the idea, really had the itch to kind of write something and then just brainstorming about what could be a good story.
But then you made it happen.
Yep.
So again, we'll do a quick round robin so everybody can hear everybody's voices as our conversation kicks in. That is the voice of creator Evan Gersh, and we also have with us...
Hello, I'm Autumn Madsen. I'm playing Sydney Donahue.
And...
Hi, my name is Colton Klingemeyer, and I play Luke Donahue.
And...
Hello again, I'm Dan Kim, and I play Andy Park.
Oh, we're going to talk about your characters and how you maybe auditioned and what your other theater and musical experiences are. But want to find out, because Evan, you're very... You should be very proud of this, to put in the grit and tell everybody how excited you are about this project and hope that they get excited as well. Doubled your fundraising goal. Now you have $40,000 to start production. What does that entail now that you have the funding? How do you build that team? Who else is on the team?
So with that, we have been able to hire on a professional film crew. And it's headed up by Philly Flyboy.
What a great name.
Philly Flyboy, Steve Dubchesky. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. But
that's why he's got a nickname,
Philly Flyboy.
How would we know Philly Flyboy?
He has worked with just about everyone in the biz. Justin Bieber, Black Eyed Peas, Snoop Dogg, T-Pain, T.I.
Mostly music video type work?
He's done a lot of music videos. He's done a lot of... television, films, and he's from right here in Milwaukee.
Even though his nickname is Philly Flyboy.
He flies all around. I think his middle name is Phil, I think. I'll have to find out.
But I love that you're able, again, to weave in more Wisconsin talent.
Yep.
And I love that we can be proud of Wisconsin talent who is doing this level of production. It sounds like it will have style to it when you talk about somebody who's had experience working with A-list musicians.
Yeah, he's really, really good at what he does as a director of photography. And he has a stellar crew with him. Camera operators and a DIT and a sound mixer. So we really have, I feel, the best of the best.
And that's what you want when you want your dream to come true.
But you do. You certainly do. And we have been extremely blessed to be able to afford them. And to have them, and it's going to make the show, I think, look that much better.
Cool.
Because really, we have one opportunity to show the people in Hollywood and in the industry our proof of concept, and we want it to be the best it can be.
Well, when you were talking about getting advice about changing the name to Brood to Brood Awakening, something that's catchy from maybe something that wasn't so catchy, but that's Hollywood connections that you've earned throughout your career. What are some of those other inspirations from the West Coast and guidance that you've gotten through that career experience?
Yeah. So also on the show, the gaffer, the lighting director, Antonio Soriano, great guy, found out just a couple weeks ago that he was the lighting director on one of my all-time favorite shows growing up, Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. And when my co-producer
those
and I...
Those formative years watching
yes,
that.
Yes, I still have nightmares about it sometimes. No, but when my co-producer and I found out about that, I mean, we're pinching ourselves. But this guy is walking through lighting for our show, you know, on this the set of Shifting Gears, you know, and it's just, you get that mentorship. We actually had, Autumn and I had a chat with the social media coordinator for the show, for Shifting Gears, a few months ago. She gave some really good insight on, hey, this is what you should do for social media, you know, so we can incorporate that into what we're doing.
And is that more to build excitement to get the pilot produced? Is that to get the show produced, or also just building an audience so that way more and more people say, hey,
yeah, it's to build
we're
an audience.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's really part of the package.
Yeah.
Really. When you pitch it, we can say, hey, we have, you know, this is the audience that we have built.
Yeah.
You know, from the ground up.
And I feel like there are a lot of people who love to see behind the scenes and the Instagram takeovers and really feel like they are part of it. Fun.
Yes. It's
so you're, you do have to wear all the hats and dig deep and do a lot to make this dream happen. Have you ever worked this hard on one of your projects before?
No. No. It consumes all my time. It really does. If I'm not working my day job at the airport, I am doing Brood Awakening. And even at the airport, not downtime, I am working on Brood Awakening. Yep.
What a great point that I think not a lot of people realize. Hey, this is his one job, and he won the lottery, and he's just putting it all in.
Yep.
So this is not your only job.
No. Nope. I work a full-time job outside of this, and God gives me the strength to get through every single day.
You know it. And the talent.
It's just great. It's just great. I love it. And I honestly would not change anything. I wouldn't trade it in for the world.
We'll take a quick break, and we're going to find out exactly when and where filming will begin. Maybe if it's a secret location, we won't let everybody know and crash. But it is exciting to know that Brood Awakening is coming to life here with us. I have Evan Gersh, Dan Kim, Colton Klingenmeyer, look at that, got it right, and Autumn Madsen, cast members of Brood Awakening. We'll talk more TV next on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, and I am joined by the creator and some of the cast members of Brood Awakening. And you're saying, Brood Awakening, what is that? It is a TV show soon to be. The pilot is being created and filmed right here. And creator Evan Gersh is with cast members Dan Kim, Autumn Madsen and Colton Klingenmeyer, and we're going to chat more with them after the news. But first of all, it's very exciting, Evan. Filming is starting in just 2 weeks after all these months of preparation. When and where are you filming?
We are filming in Union Grove at a very secret location.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. We are also filming at a school in Racine, very secret location, and a bar and restaurant in Milwaukee.
Is that also secret?
We probably should keep a secret, yes. Yeah, so we don't have people showing up. But
yeah, but, yeah. But that creates the buzz. We were just talking about social media buzz. Create real in-person human buzz.
Yeah. They're shutting the place down for us. So we want to be able to kind of crowd control. And, you know, we put a form out for extras and, you know, so we know who's coming and who's not supposed to be there kind of thing. So
are there any opportunities for more extras?
There are. There is a school scene that we are filming on June 27th.
Oh.
And if you go to our website, www.broodawakeningtvshow.com, on the homepage, you click on the expression of interest. Fill it out, and we're looking for probably about, I'd say, 15 to 20 more students.
Ooh, what's that website again?
www.broodawakeningtvshow.com.
Brood Awakening TV Show. Oh, that's opportunity to be a part of something on the ground floor.
Yep.
And also have fun. All right. Well, we have more with Evan Gersh, creator of Brood Awakening, and the cast members. So stay with us for more about the different characters and the different acting experiences. And we're going to talk about piano music as well. So stay with us on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Thank you.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. We are talking TV, not just television, but television being made right here in Wisconsin. And we will do one more round robin if you're just joining us, to find out about Brood Awakening. And I have the creator and three of the cast members. So reintroduce yourselves to everyone.
Yeah, I am Evan Gersh. I am the creator of Brood Awakening.
Hello, I'm Autumn Madsen, and I'm playing Sydney Donahue.
My name is Colton Klingenmeyer, and I play Luke Donahue.
I'm Dan Kim, and I play Andy Park.
And Evan, so we can find out more about these actors, these thespians. Tell us about the premise of Brood Awakening, and we know there's a family involved, but then also how Andy's character is involved.
Yeah, so a professional surfer from Malibu, after losing his wife, he packs up his family and they move to Sheboygan, Wisconsin, the Malibu of the Midwest, to help his friend run a struggling craft brewery.
And there is surfing in Lake Michigan in Sheboygan.
Yeah, there is.
That is truly the Malibu of Wisconsin.
Yep.
So, Dan, we'll start with you.
Oh.
Actor Dan Kim.
Hello.
Portrays Andy Park. Who is Andy in Brood Awakening?
As Evan said, Andy is Tommy's friend who is trying to keep a struggling bar afloat with, I believe it was Timber Taverns.
And is there any part of you that kind of relates to the mission of trying to keep something going?
I think it's the ambition of keeping my dream afloat or trying to make it come true is what I connect with the most, especially with Andy.
And does Andy have any, he's got a friend in Mr. Donahue, Tommy Donahue. Do you have any nemesis in his life?
Yes, he does have a nemesis. The owner of Timber Tavern, Jack.
And how does that go so far?
Oh, it's going. The two are kind of butting heads a lot, especially since Jack wants Andy to give up the tavern so that they can make a new location for it. And Andy's like, no.
Don't want to give up?
I don't want to give up.
Are you having fun with it so far?
Yeah, you could say that.
And then let's go to the children.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Autumn, tell us about Sydney.
Sydney is like a mix of Elle Woods and Sharpay Evans. She's very like, she's a social media influencer, so she's very like, what are the words for it? She's good with the camera. She's very, very sassy towards her family. Like, she definitely has an attitude. It's fun to play, though, a character with an attitude. They're really fun to play around with.
So do you feel like, oh, what, Evan, what was your thought?
Oh, I was just letting her go. I was like, yeah, that sounds like Sydney. Yeah, very much.
To hear Autumn describe her character, is that exactly how you envision it?
It was very much. She is this kind of stuck up brat.
Oh.
If you could say it, to really kind of
the
get
character,
right in
not
there.
You.
Yeah.
No, Autumn is great. She really is great.
I say, you're not bringing that vibe at all.
No.
Autumn, yeah, no, it's very, just as the very unlike Sydney, which is great. But Sydney is, she is all about herself, very much caught up in her social status and her appearance and all the things that she has. Yep. That is very much Sydney.
Did you see some of those Sydneys in California when you lived and worked there?
Oh, for sure. Well, you see them everywhere. But yes, you do. They are very much there.
And Autumn, what do you relate to in Sydney, since it sounds like she may not necessarily be typecast, not necessarily who you are?
No, she's very girly, and she's into fashion, which is really fun. Like, I want to for sure make sure with my wardrobe to make sure that she wears like good outfits and that she's colorful and really fun, at least outfit wise. Yeah, she's kind of like a polar opposite of me personality wise. She's much more, I would say she's a little bit more extroverted too. I mean, if you can sit on your phone and talk to many, many people when you're by yourself, that is something I cannot do. So that's awesome that she has the ability to do that.
What brings that out for you? I dig that, you know, that is part of what will help you grow as an actor in this role.
I would say fake till you make it, like just kind of making your way through and thinking of how might a person who actually does this as a job would go about doing this.
It's funny you say fake it till you make it. I just read Michael J. Fox's book about how he was cast in Back to the Future and was working on Back to the Future and Family Ties at exactly the same time.
Oh my.
But he said that part of his challenge, you know, when you get thrown into those things, is act as if. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't think. So fake it till you make it. He goes right into the Michael J. Fox act as if. Just get into the character.
Absolutely.
And Colton Klingenmeyer, tell us about Luke, the character that you play. Luke is Sydney's younger brother?
Yep. Luke is he's a lot more of a quiet character. Like, he keeps to himself a lot. He has a very strong relationship with his grandma. And he does a lot of piano, like myself. We have a lot of similar stuff. He's you mentioned he was based around your childhood, right, Evan?
Yeah, I started playing piano when I was probably about 10. And I had a very strong relationship with my grandmother. Very close. That was built on faith and everything. So when I wrote the character of Luke, it was probably the easiest to write because it was really based off of me when I was that age.
Aw, I think that's very charming. And Luke, what do you relate to most other than the piano playing? I'm so sorry. Just see, look at that. You're so good at your role, Colton. I just called you Luke. But Colton, other than the piano playing, is there something that you connect with? Or do you have a close relationship with your grandmother or other aspects of the character?
Yeah, I do have a strong relationship with my grandma. But, there is that. Actually, a funny thing with my grandma, we keep trying to give her our first piano. My first piano I got from her as a gift. And we keep trying to give it back because now we have, like, different stuff. And she's like, no, I want you to keep it as a gift and stuff like that. It's really sweet.
Aw. So, Evan, as we hear them talking about their characters, is it coming together the way you want it to? Or are you already thinking, okay, here's some notes on the drive home?
We had our first rehearsal last week, and we had Ben, you remember Ben, who plays Tommy, and Autumn and Colton and Bill. You remember Bill? Who can forget Bill? Right?
Bill brought refreshments.
He did, yes. And it was one shy of a six-pack, right? Autumn and Colton, they did so well, really well. We were talking about it. My co-producer, Brad, and I, we were talking about it after the fact. Colton kind of shocked us from the sense that this is Colton's first time doing this. and came in the rehearsal and just delivered his lines like he had known him his entire life. You know, Autumn comes from a theater background so that she's, you know, more natural at this. So, you know, through the year or so that they've had the script and all the rewrites and everything, they've really gotten to know their characters really well. And that totally came through on the rehearsal.
That's
that was it was exciting.
Good.
Yeah. And our
good.
Next one's tomorrow. So it's like, we're going to build on that.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, that's, I love this. The momentum is happening for Brood Awakening, a TV sitcom pilot that is being filmed right here in Wisconsin and produced right here in Wisconsin. And hopefully behind TV screens near you. We will find out more about the future and also about the musical aspects of Brood Awakening. And we'll remind everybody how they can get involved as extras. Stay with us for more Brood Awakening chat on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org and discover a new TV show being created and filmed right here in Wisconsin. I have the creator of Brood Awakening. It's so funny. I looked down at your sweatshirt. I know exactly what the name of the show is, but you're completely on brand. Evan Gersh is in the studio with me, along with Autumn Madsen, Colton Klingenmeyer, and Dan Kim, who are cast members in Brood Awakening. We've talked a little bit about your acting and your relationship to your characters. And well, Autumn and Colton, since you're playing brother and sister, you two, I assume, had not met before you got cast in Brood Awakening?
Actually, so our sisters danced together. So, I mean, I think when we were younger, too, we both danced. Mm-hmm. So we kind of knew each other from the studio, which
That's
was really
good.
Fun. So we, like, knew of each other. I mean, we weren't, like, besties, but, like, it was fun enough where, like, we were comfortable enough being like, hey, okay, we're going to play siblings.
Yep.
Are you doing anything off camera, off script to build a brother-sister relationship? Or is that brother-sister relationship in the show probably not something that is warm and fuzzy?
I mean, they butt heads a lot, which is fun to play.
Yeah, during the rehearsals, that was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're also going to sing together, I understand, or perform together. Evan, you talk about growing up as a piano player and that Colton's character of Luke is very autobiographical. Tell us about how music works into Brood Awakening.
So I wrote a song. It's called Somewhere We Belong. I wrote the music and the lyrics. And
I have a little bit of it if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay. I'll play it as you talk about
don't,
it.
Don't judge the vocals.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I wanted to ask you. It's like I didn't want you to say like, no, don't play that.
Packed up all the pieces, the life we used to know.
So this is the song that you wrote specifically. Why did you write it for Brood Awakening?
It was something that I think really music, you know, brings a lot of people together, right? And this is really kind of the emotional climax of the episode where brother and sister are coming together and the community is coming together to rally behind Andy and Tommy and everything. So it really ties in well in that. But
you won't be singing it.
No.
Tell us how it fits in. I was just going to say, it sounds like brother and sister roles.
Yes. You know, Colton, the first time I heard Colton play piano, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy, he plays piano better than I did when I was that age. Autumn has an amazing singing voice. And so we've done a few rehearsals and both of them have just really, really impressed me. It sounds really nice, really genuine, really warm. Something that's really going to fit, I think, nicely into the show.
How does it feel for the two of you to perform it together?
It's fun.
Yeah. This was really the first time that I played with a vocalist, really. So it's like really new experience and everything.
It's good for you to grow. It's wonderful. Yeah. And to know that it works.
Yeah.
To know the experiment works. And before we take another quick break and tell everybody how they can become an extra, you also have another musical angle, Wisconsin musical angle to Brood Awakening. With a name that people know around here.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, your listeners, may be familiar with Bella Cain.
Yeah.
Especially
in the summertime, all the festivals.
Oh, they are very busy. We are in touch with Rob Harvey, the band leader. Great, great guy. Talk about their involvement in the show and possibly post-production as well.
Exciting. So, yes. Gathering all this Wisconsin talent from every level of the production to the acting to enhancing the whole experience. Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. When we come back, one last chat. And then again, a reminder of how you can keep up with all of the fun, which Autumn has been helping with as well, and how you can become an extra. Stay with us on What's on Tap with Brood Awakening.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
One last visit here with the creator and some of the cast members from Brood Awakening. It is a TV pilot that is being produced and filmed right here in Wisconsin. Thank you, Evan Gersh, for bringing this excitement to life. But I hope it is cool to see your idea coming together like this.
It's amazing. It really is a lot of fun.
Filming in 2 weeks. And I also want to mention that for the cast members between Dan Kim and Autumn Madsen, people have seen you two together on stage already. Dan, what show were the two of you in together?
That is true. Both me and Autumn were in Legally Blonde at the Racing Theater Guild last summer.
How fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you bringing any dance moves to Brood Awakening?
We could.
Not yet. Not yet. Just
don't
wait.
Give too much away.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. No.
Season two.
And Amanda, Autumn, you are also channeling your character of Sydney as the West Coast savvy social media gal. Mm-hmm. You are actually handling the social media for Brood Awakening.
I handle Instagram and TikTok.
And what are those accounts?
Brood Awakening _official, I believe.
Brood Awakening _official.
Yes.
And Evan, in these last moments here, as you continue to build excitement and enthusiasm for Brood Awakening, you do have room for more faces on camera.
If you are a high school student or you look like a high school student, we are looking for about 15-ish, approximately 15 student background extras for our school scene taking place on Saturday, June 27th. You can go to our website, broodawakeningtvshow.com. Right on the homepage, there's a button you can click to fill out a form, expression of interest, and it'll be from about noon to 3 on that day.
You don't have to audition?
Nope. Just it's background atmosphere.
And I've been a background actor. That's how I met one of your other cast members, Christina Oster. She and I were background extras in the pilot of Ozark a few years ago. That was how I got to know her. So I love
small world.
Exactly, in a good way. Congratulations. BroodAwakeningTVShow.com is the website. And BroodAwakening_official on TikTok and Instagram to keep up with all of the developments. Dan Kim, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Colton Klingenmeyer, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Autumn Madsen, thank you for being here. And Evan, I know we will be in touch.
We will.
Congratulations on all the progress.
You got to come to our screening.
Screening? Yes. I might see if I can be an extra somewhere.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you very much. We'll keep you updated here on What's on Tap on the latest developments of Brood Awakening. Stay with us for more after 8 on What's on Tap.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max. Sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Hello, how are you? I am so pleased you are here with me for the extra bonus half hour that we have together here on What's on Tap. We're getting ready for the Milwaukee Brewers game that will start at 8:30, that coverage, thanks to the interesting combination of playing the Oakland Athletics in Las Vegas. So we've got West Coast ball tonight. That's why it starts at 8:30. But I wanted to touch base with you. We've got a couple of updates that are fun, including who won Art 64. You know, that is one of my very favorite summertime events or springtime events. It's early June in Wauwatosa. Art 64 is the competition outdoor painting. 64 different artists in that bracket style, and you whittle it down. And who won $20,000? What artist won? And also the other cash prizes for second, third, and fourth place. So I will update you on those winners and let you know where they are from. And also the update on the Bob Uecker mural. I have video that I took. And if you aren't downtown and you haven't seen it yet, we will show that on our WTMJ YouTube live stream very shortly. So you can be impressed by this 10-story tall painting of Mr. Baseball. So I'm glad to share that with you because it's been fun to watch the progress. It's if you know where Ward's House of Prime is, you look right at the Wintrust building, that's what you see. So just a block away from the Pfister and a block away from Cathedral Square Park. So that's the area that the Bob Uecker mural is in. I started to say memorial, but it is pretty much a memorial mural. It's a big tribute to Uke, and boy, I think it's going to get a lot of photos taken this summer. It's just about complete. So I'll get you an update on Mauricio Ramirez's mural of Bob Uecker as well. But I told you, let you know where the free music is happening this week, because that is another great thing about our area, is that there are a lot of weekly free music festivals, including Chill on the Hill is tomorrow in Bayview, right there in Humboldt Park in the band shell there. And you can get your groove on to Louie and the Flash Bombs with Bright Eyed and Blind. And I give a look to producer Isaac Marquardt. He's a musician himself in a band called Barely Civil. I don't know that Barely Civil is doing any free shows this week, but I always like to give you a look if you're like, oh, hey, that is a good band. Don't miss them. So Chill on the Hill tomorrow at 6:30 in Humboldt Park. Louie and the Flash Bombs with Bright Eyed and Blind. And I also want to let you know about tomorrow is Les Paul's 111th birthday party. It's Music Success is a wonderful organization here in town. It's music, the number six and the letter S. And their whole mission is to get guitars in particular, but instruments to first responders and to help people cope and just kind of have that balance of life and inspire creativity. And it's a freebie. We like free music, which is, and you can even bring your own instruments to donate to Music Success. And it'll be there at the New Berlin store tomorrow from 5 till 9. The lineup, 5:30, The Weary World, 6:30, Awake the Echoes, and 7:30, kind of the house band for What's on Tap. Kitty Softpaw will be performing. So free admission, food, beverages, family fun, Les Paul's 111th birthday at Music Success in New Berlin tomorrow night starting at 5:30. And also music you can enjoy this week for absolutely free. On Wednesdays, downtown, there is a music series called Heartbeats of the City. And you can enjoy lunchtime music in Red Arrow Park. And on Wednesday, the Zach Petrini Band will be performing there. And something that a lot of people look forward to every single year, Jazz in the Park is back. Kicked off last week, and you'll be able to enjoy Jazz in the Park. Divas Take the Stage on Thursday. B.D. Greer presents Divas and Jazz. Well, that's going to be fun. And you know, one of those where you take your blanket, spread it out, call your friends and meet in Cathedral Square Park and just enjoy the city. And hey, you can get a peek at the Bob Uecker mural if you head over there. But just a great space to enjoy that music. Absolutely free. The music starts at 6 o'clock on Thursday for Jazz in the Park. Divas Take the Stage. B.D. Greer presents Divas and Jazz. Going to update you on Art 64, who were the winners, and how you can see some of those paintings next on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. I am Sandy Max, and if you've heard me, if I'm going to tell you about something that I think is really cool, you know, and say, hey, I think you should go. It is also nice to have like the bookend of like, hey, I wonder what happened. You know, she was really excited about that and whatever happened. So I was telling you last week, and it's an annual event, the Art 64. So it's now the fifth annual in Wauwatosa. What happens is in the streets of Tosa, it's 64 different artists set up their easels on a Friday afternoon and then all day on Saturday, and they paint outside. Well, it starts with 64 artists, and then because it's bracket style, kind of like March Madness, it gets whittled down and whittled down. So what you get to do as a patron, as the non-painter, as the art lover, you just get to stroll around and watch artists in action. And they have different rounds, and you have about an hour, maybe even 75 minutes to create your artwork. And it's exciting and it's fun, and you can take some home with you. And I just think it's a great way to get people strolling around the city and also getting excited about art and getting inspired. So the cool thing is that not only do they give away $20,000 to the winning artists who are chosen again by patrons like you and me walking around and voting in real time, this year they added more cash prizes for second, third, and fourth place, which is means that this really is exciting to see how the arts can bring people together. It can boost an economy, and it can turn you on to lots of people's creativity. And this year's winner, dun, 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 I feel like I need a drum roll, Ana Paula Martins, who was born in Brazil, now lives and works here in the U.S., and she has a degree in chemistry and physics and a grad degree in biology, but her desire and drive to do art was just so much greater than all of that analytical side of things. And she won. If you go to discoverart64.com, you can see the rounds of paintings that that got her the win. And her winning painting is just a lovely, playful photo of a child, a little girl playing in a field at, I would say, sunset, maybe it's sunrise, but just really beautiful artwork of all kinds. And you can browse, you can still purchase art if you want to, but look forward to that next year. It is the first weekend of June, but they'll also have the call for artists because it's 64 artists, but man, I think they got over 300 submissions from all around the country and all around the world. There was an artist from Spain who was painting at Art 64 over this weekend as well. So, and if you want to see the winning painting that is so lovely, if you text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620, text the word watch, and you can see some of the beautiful artworks by Ana, who is now $20,000 richer and gets to make even more art. So again, circle that on your calendar, Art 64, because I expect that it will only just continue to grow and get bigger and better. Such an artful community. And also, while you're there, you can see Mama Rosa, the troll. instead of a troll, though, a tribute to Bob Uecker. You've heard us talking about and keeping track of the Bob Uecker mural downtown. I will give you an update on Mauricio Ramirez's mural, 10 stories tall. How close is it to being finished? I will share with you. And if you're still on our YouTube live stream, you'll be able to see it too. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside.
And in comparison to just a bit outside, this is all the way outside, a 10-story tall mural of Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball. And it started being painted on the side of the Wintrust building right downtown at Mason and Jefferson, I think is that street. And it's right across from Ward's House of Prime, so block away from Cathedral Square, block away from the Pfister, right there in that area. And it has been so fun to see it go from kind of this white space and continue to take shape and see what has become Bob Uecker inside American Family Field. So you see the architecture of the roof behind him, sitting at a microphone, wearing his signature, but not too loud, plaid jacket. And if you text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, text the word watch to 855-616-1620. We will show you a photo that I took this afternoon, and it is darn nearly finished. Artist Mauricio Ramirez, I just told you to text the word watch, or encouraged you to. Watch to Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. But also get to know Mauricio Ramirez and the process of creating this design, but also how do you paint it on a 10-story tall wall and get it accurate? And what's the methodology to do that when he's up on this? He's really just by himself on a boom lift with paint cans. It's fascinating. So if you want to hear our interview with Mauricio Ramirez on What's on Tap when he was starting this process, if you text the word mural, M-U-R-A-L, text mural to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. I think you'll really be interested to hear how Mauricio prepares the design and then is able to get it on the wall. I thought it was going to be a projection. It's a different method. So I encourage you to check out that conversation on What's on Tap. You can text the word mural, M-U-R-A-L. And again, we are showing you the latest from this afternoon from my lunch break. I drove over and took a snap of the nearly finished Bob Uecker mural. I just think this is going to be such a wonderful touch to the city, and it's going to be just something that people really love seeing and will, you know, make your heart grow, because we still miss Bob. It's just not the same without him. You know, his voice really meant summertime and baseball. So it's a beautiful tribute to one of our favorite people in Milwaukee, Bob Uecker. Check out the mural. And again, you can hear that interview with the artist Mauricio Ramirez, who's also the same artist who painted the Giannis mural that's downtown at 300 East Wisconsin. So he's really adding icons to our downtown landscape. So keyword mural, M-U-R-A-L, on the Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line. And thanks to everyone who joined me, to Evan Gersh, the creator of Brood Awakening, a TV show pilot that is being created, produced, and filmed right here in Wisconsin. And cast members Dan Kim, Autumn Madsen, and Colton Klingenmeyer. That was a fun hour to spend together. Thanks to Michael Unger, the artistic director of Skylight Music Theater, who came to share the news that Gary Sinise is coming back to Milwaukee this summer. August 27th and August 28th, Gary Sinise will be doing part of some very special world premiere performances of his son's music, Max Sinise. And Gary will be here. He will narrate those performances by a 25-piece orchestra on stage at Skylight Music Theater. The best way to make sure that you are first to get tickets for this graceful warrior, Gary Sinise, performance of Max Sinise's music, go to Skylight Music Theater's website and get on their get on their mailing list, because honestly, this news is so fresh that they don't have the tickets, you know, website set up yet. So it is fresh news. So circle August 28th and August 29th. Those are the dates that Gary Sinise will be back in Milwaukee for a very, very set of special performances that will actually be a world premiere. He's hoping to take this show on tour to share the music of Max Sinise, his late son. So I'm excited to share that with you. And also, if you missed the chat with Buddy Guy, keyword Buddy Guy, keyword Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, text Buddy to 855-616-1620 and hear a chat with a lovely human being and a humble legend, a guitar icon. Text the word Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, to 855-616-1620 to enjoy that conversation. Tomorrow, going to get you prepped for Polish Fest on What's on Tap with a special guest. I am Sandy Max. Thanks for hanging out with me on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee.